Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm, and we are here with a couple of people from Griffball Hub to talk about some Halo 5 beta stuff. We're kind of wrapping up our series here, and this last week was PAX, and that's one of the reasons why this show was not done live. It's actually done in multiple parts, and you'll hear the second part after this, but I have with me Goose Cheka and Receptor 17 from Griffball Hub.
Hello.
Welcome back to the show, guys.
Thanks.
And gals.
Hi.
It's good to be back.
Hello.
I haven't been back here since, my rant about Halo 4, I think.
Was that the last one? Were you not on one of the big group ones that we did for, like, the one of the conventions or so?
I don't think so. I think after that rant, I was kind of sidelined for a while.
Well, it's good to have you back.
Thank you.
Yay!
Good to be back. And I know Receptor was just here, like, a couple weeks ago.
Yes, telling Kevin Franklin to please include a cutscene of Griffballers in Spartan Ops.
I think Spartan Ops is kind of set. I don't know if they can really add much to it. Maybe for Halo 5, if they have something similar to Halo 5. That'd be cool.
Exactly what I mean.
More Griffball is a good thing.
Yes. So, if you guys want to hear a little bit more about my pack shenanigans, you can head on over to the Hubcast and listen to their latest episode. We may talk a little bit about some of the HCS stuff in a later episode. We're trying to work with a couple of people to possibly get that going. But if you want to hear what I got to see along with some of the panels, not specifically Halo-related and some of the other stuff on the floor, then go ahead and head over to the Hubcast and listen to that. But we're going to be talking about Halo 5 Spectator Mode. This is one of the new things that they introduced into the beta.
Yes!
And it has a lot of potential to grow. You'll actually hear an interview with Golden Boy, who was one of the more well-known Halo casters out there, and he was actually casting part of the HCS Season 1 Grand Finals this week, and so you'll get to hear a little bit from him at the end of this show. But I figured since Griffball Hub is pretty much the only place you can find a improvised spectator mode that currently exists in Halo, they're probably the perfect people to go to see what you would want from a spectator mode. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today, some of the implications for what we could see in spectator mode, some of the stuff that we would like to see, maybe some additional things that could be correlated with theater and that kind of stuff. So I guess to open the floor, what were your guys' initial thoughts, guys and gals, initial thought of the spectator mode, and how much did you get to use it and experiment with it during the beta?
Oh, I guess my thought was, it's about time. We've been
a polite term, it was manna from heaven.
So the two different feelings there. I mean, again, Griffball's been having spectator mode or community-made spectator mode since Halo 3, so since it pretty much began, and it's always been kind of a feather in our cap that we've always had over the shooty Halo players or the racing Halo players or all the other variations there are. But it was really cool to see 343 put in spectator mode. I think it's something that's been a long time coming, especially with their push towards esports. And I was really, really excited to see that it was accessible in the beta.
I mean, when I had the chance to actually play, I think I was following one of Bravo's games when the beta first went live. Not only did it provide the whole thing where, as we saw in HCS and previous streams since the Master Chief Collection came out, where they could focus specifically on one player, then instantly switch to another. Instead of having eight screens like they did before, you can instantly just switch between just pressing the D-pad in your controller. But having the free roam option as well, for us on Griffball side, that is huge. Instead of having to use the infamous Wraith tank, which we used in early days of Halo 4 to be able to move across the court and move with the plane rather than sitting in the commentary booth, having this ability, it makes it, it's non-intrusive, so it's not gaining the way, it's not affecting radar or anything like that for any shooty players or Griffball players, races, anything like that. It completely changes the whole level of how we can broadcast this. I mean, also, it also invites skills for those who can learn how to use the controller nice and smoothly, because instead of having, say, a jumpy moving around, it can be a nice and smooth method, and also it has the tracking on the player. As you would say, perfect for race, perfect for Griffball if you're following a specific runner, perhaps, who's carrying the ball, or if you're following a defensive tank who's trying to prevent a plant from happening. So having this ability is, it's a dimension changer. It is a complete and utter game changer for us as streamers and broadcasters for the future, to see how this will happen then in future game titles, whether it's Halo or other games related to Xbox, PlayStation 4, any console. This is the benchmark for us to use now in the future, saying, this is here. This is an evolution for esports and for broadcasting on a community level.
So what is one of the things that you see drastically affecting the spectator mode, or being able to use spectator mode for Griffball specifically? Because I know there's lots of different things that you would want to see in the different game types for Halo, but what's kind of some of the stuff that you when looking through the spectator mode that you want to see specifically for Griffball?
I know one thing that I'm a big advocate of is the free roam, which they already have, because it is fun to drop in behind a person, but it's also nice to have the ability to kind of range around the court and get different perspectives and look at different sides. I want it to be pretty stable, though, because too much spinning and rotating can lead to some nauseousness, which we've found out in some other iterations of streamed courts that we've had. And I would like to have more than one person spectating at a time, which would be pretty cool, because then we could probably switch to different perspectives on the court, which would be really, really cool.
Yes, and, please.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And then I guess the last thing that it's really big on my list, and I don't really know how it would fit in with the spectator mode, but to be able to cut to the player's audio. I think that would be a huge improvement for streamers, especially for Griffball streamers.
Are you talking about cutting to their chat audio?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, when we heard that at even at the MCC Invitational way back when the game was released, having to hear that, there was one specific one, I think it was Optic Gaming was playing, and the game was tied. It was even scores, playing on lockout, and basically you heard them set up this play, which allowed them to move on and win to go to the next round. So we could hear how the team was arranged, discussing, should we go now, should we not, is everyone arranged, all that kind of stuff, and you can then see how a team operates and how communication plays a vital role, because in Griffball, communication is key. If there's no communication, when it comes to passing in Halo 4, you know, if you don't tell a player where you are, you're either going to miss the ball, it's going to be a turnover, or if someone doesn't catch, say, a defensive tank who's got a sword out attacking one of the ball carrier, if that's not called out, the person doesn't notice on their radar, that's it, instant turnover. So having that ability would just, it would, again, add a new dimension for anyone who's watching a live stream for the first time, or a veteran who's watching it who wants to learn how to get better. That will allow them to maybe get a new level again to see what these top teams, so say AGLA pro teams, those who currently hold the championships, all-stars, they know how they operate and what the chemistry is needed to make a great team for any sport, because communication is used in any sport that's around.
And as a commentator, it's really nice to take a break and let somebody else do it.
As you noticed from how many listeners that we got to see during the Season 1 Grand Finals.
Yeah, I was just going to mention the HGS Grand Finals, and I feel like it really increases the depth of the gameplay, and it's nice to bounce back between the commentators and the gameplay. Personally, I find all gameplay, it's just people yelling at each other the whole time, especially on HCS. And I'm sure for them it makes sense, but for me it just sounds like, ah! And, you know, sometimes there's people you don't want to have talking all the time on a live stream. So the ability to toggle back and forth. And again, as commentators, I co-commentated a game that was 2.5 hours long. And
oh, that infamous game.
We talked for 2.5 hours. And if we could have just kind of cut to the players for a while so we could, you know, get a drink of water or go to the bathroom, that would have been pretty cool. So I see a lot of applications for that. But again, I don't know if that's tied into spectator mode. I would have to work with the party system in some way. So I don't know if that's a realistic hope or expectation, but that is eventually where I'd want it to go.
I mean, even if it's not in this mode, it'd be interesting to have it perhaps as an app on an Xbox One where you can link people together in a party. Then you can listen. You can instantly switch to that party, which has X amount of headsets from this team and from the opposing team. And you can easily switch between the two. It'd be nice to have that on Snap. So you can snap it up and then you can just bring which team you want to switch to, or from commentating, or you just have like a special streaming app for that. I mean, pie in the sky thinking, but it'd be something nice to have if it wasn't available in spectator mode in Halo 5 or beyond.
Or I guess something else a little bit off of that and just popped into my head would be like the ability to plant different spectator cameras. Like one person could have control of, say, three spectator cameras. So in Griffball, you could have one at the midcourt line, you could have one at each defensive end. So the streamer would be able to cut from camera to camera the same way you pan through different person's perspectives and like the death cams. That would be really cool. But I could see that being especially helpful for the shooty Halo players, because there's a lot of maps where there's not clear sight lines. So, for example, on Lockdown, you could have one in the BR Tower, you could have one at Sniper Tower, and you could have one at the lift, or maybe in the library, and be able to switch between those might make more sense, especially on a more complicated map where the streamer might have to navigate through geometry and different architecture.
I mean, right. It'd be great for that as well to see, especially in Griffball games, where we have server players like Mancan, for example. He's infamous for sneaking to the opposite end of the court and hiding there where the enemy team spawn, waiting for a pass so he can instantly sneak to the golden planet. Half the time, if we're focusing on the action which is happening on the other end, because that's where the ball carrier is that time, we miss him sneaking over there. So having that little bit there, we can instantly glance at a screen. Like, I think they had a HCS in the early days where there was 8 screens you can do, and they just instantly tapped a screen and up came that one on the main broadcast. If you see something like that, where, say, if it's on the Snap system, where you could just instantly cycle through it and you notice, oh, that's interesting, go to that, and then instantly the screen switches that and say, and there is X player, man, camera, whoever, waiting on the plant. The team hasn't noticed him yet. Are they going to get this pass through? And then you can see if any action does happen. If nothing happens, you instantly switch back to the previous screen.
Yeah, that sounds something that is very appealing, at least to like tournament streamers and broadcasters. And that's one of the things that we actually talked to, or that Golden Boy mentioned in our interview. So good to see crossover there. There's a lot of stuff that we also see that kind of goes across both Shooty Halo, Griffball, and all that other stuff in terms of being able to have like a roster and possibly looking up quick stats as well. Is that something that you would also like to see?
Yes, please. Or even for us to have, when it comes to players, the thing I'd like to see is having the option of having every single, especially in spectator mode, every single gamer tag hovering above the player's head. So for us as streamers, if Goose and I are on the same team, or if it's just one commentator, we don't know who the other team is unless we can identify them like I do by their armor types. Because I know my armor back to front from Halo 4, I can instantly identify each player by whether they're wearing the Strider helmet or if they're wearing Mark 6 armor or anything like that. I can instantly associate that player rather than having to look up on the little markers if I can see them. Having that ability would make our lives as a commentator much simpler, but it also allow us to make more professional streams and disallow any opportunity for any mistakes being made, where we talk about this amazing play by one player, which in reality was another player who did that move.
I mean, we do something, for me at least, when I'm looking at the screen, I've gotten very good at watching the stream, the lines of code that run on the far left corner of the screen saying who killed who. And that's usually if I'm commentating by myself or I can't see their team, I've gotten really good at looking at that while still streaming. But yeah, definitely being able to see somebody's HUD, maybe even being able to program what their tag is. Because that is definitely one of the toughest parts is you do have some players, like myself, my tag, if you see it, is Goose. And I think Receptor yours is 17, right?
R17. So, but yeah, easy to answer. You can easily recognize. Then we have some players who have a completely different series, a serial number. So they have 117 because of the Master Chief, but their gamer tag isn't Master Chief 117, etc. It's a completely different thing. So unless we know that already by checking, pressing the select button to see who is on the roster, that'd be useful. Then if you bring up the caller cards, as mentioned earlier, we bring up that caller card and you can see what armor they're wearing. So like you'd have on the Halo Waypoint, Halo 4 Spartan Avatar, that's the armor they're wearing. Instantly that pops up and you can say, ah, so that one's wearing, I don't know, the Scout armor. So that must be this player. Or even if there's two of them, it's going to be one or the other. And you can deduce which is which.
And as far as stats, I mean, we kind of do that right now. We just hit the back button and then, you know, the screen pops up. It would be nice if that did not take up the whole screen. That would be, maybe that's something that could get built into the smart glass, which would be really cool too.
That'd be actually very handy.
Yeah, it'd be great having that. You just glance down and just go, so that's the point at the moment. So who's on it? Because it'd be nice having an even bigger one. If it goes on a smart glass, say into your Windows or not so much on your phone, but maybe a tablet, you could then see not only the points, but the KD ratios, how many sprees people had. Like the breakdown we usually have at the end of a Griffball match, we go through all the medals, all the stats, etc. Having that live updates, maybe on a laptop or a computer by as well as broadcasting, that would open a completely different level of play where if a player is not, maybe not showing as such, you know, it's not carrying the ball constantly, it's not getting the big tanks, but it's getting specific medals, say, ball carrier kill, we know that although they're not making a big impact to the kills on the court, they're making decisive plays, which allows their team to get the win because they're not doing, you know, the best by the best, but their actions are allowing the team to win just by little decisive moments which can change a game.
The idea that I could get my phone to beep or buzz or send me a push notification when someone's on a killing spree, that would be amazing. Because even with two of us in the box, there's still eight players on the court. And sometimes it can be really tough to keep an eye on who has so many kills and who's on a spree and things like that. The kill tax and triples are pretty easy because if that's happening, you're probably seeing it. But some people can have really long lifespans of like 30 seconds and you know that they've been on sprees or running riots. And even something that simple, even if it's not a full stats layout, which is something simple like, hey, Cal Bulgarian's on a killing spree of his own team, you know, would be, as a selfish caster, that would make my ability to deliver information to the audience that much more enriching.
I mean, that's the key thing for us as commentators or as broadcasters, whichever the term is. Having that detail entices the audience. I mean, yes, they can have an overload of detail, but telling them what's happening on the court, not just by what they're seeing, but stuff they're not seeing, like little actions, little moments, little lead-ups that build up to this final moment where the last plant is scored to win the AGLA Pro Circuit Championship. Just having to mention that by saying Shadow S16 is now in a killing spree, he's got up to a killing frenzy. Although we're not seeing that on the court because we're following the opposing runner who has it, which then leads to the turnover after they take out the enemy runner. Shadow then picks it up and runs into the goal to get the final score. We will have seen that build up. So we could say, you know, whilst it's building up, the audience could see this. And it also just adds the whole theatre of the moment where this player is doing all this stuff. And there he is making the final play to get the victory.
That's definitely a very big push for you guys, I think, is having that build up and being able to keep track of all those stats. There is kind of something else, though, because the Spectator mode, as it currently stands, isn't exactly live. So,
right.
Yeah, it's off by about 20 seconds, I think.
It loads in minute chunks. So you're really not even in a true Spectator mode. You're basically loading a film clip that's being recorded in minute chunks. So I'm wondering if 343 has plans to maybe make it to where for general matchmaking, that's how it is. You kind of have this cached or buffered theater mode. And then maybe for stuff like events or tournaments to have something that's a little more live time. Because to go back to what you were talking about, Goose, being able to check in with chat, you really wouldn't be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the server was also caching audio, if players were actually in game instead of using a party app or so. I'm kind of curious to see what 343 would do with something like that. If they do make a spectator mode for your general matchmaking and general gameplay, but then have more of a caster studio type where maybe they do use something like Smart Glass, and you do get a lot of the integrated features and you're able to actually hop into a dedicated server and actually spectate a match live.
Yeah, and it doesn't even have to be instantaneous because Twitch is delayed. So, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect, but yeah, it would definitely be difficult to have the listen-ins and do things on the fly as they do in LAN events as we'd want to do online. And I'm sure that's a huge, much bigger problem than I can even appreciate. But it's a step in the right direction. Other games have had spectator mode for longer. And I know that whatever they give us, I know our community will take it and run with it the same way they did with Forge and, you know, forcing a theater mode when there wasn't one. Receptor mentioned earlier the Wraith Court. And for those who aren't familiar, it is a court where the ground is actually a little bit off of the grid, and there is a wraith placed between the grid floor and the court floor, because when you get into the gunner seat of the wraith, you move into third person. And so what happens is that when you do that on a griffball court, you have somebody in the wraith in third person, but it looks like they are in a spectator mode on the court. The problem is, one, people tend to get a little bit nauseous watching it if the streamer is less experienced or moving around too much. And the other thing is that the wraith is on the radar and there's no way to turn that off. So in griffball, radar is really, really important. It helps you know where your teammates are. It helps you know where the enemy is. It's really, really clutch to have that clear. And so teams, and rightfully so, complain about having a wraith on the map. And some people also say that it causes frame rate issues. I've never had any problem with it in that particular sense, but it's a giant wraith underneath the court, so I can definitely see that there would be some other issues involved. And so if we have tools like a spectator mode, I can't wait to see what people like Taco and Knockyard do with that to make it even better than anything we could ask from the developers.
One thing as well, even to flip the whole live thing on its head, this spectator mode will allow us, if we can't broadcast a scrim or a final that, you know, we couldn't broadcast because maybe we're away at an event or something, if that's recorded and we're able to do spectator mode with that, we could then broadcast matches later on. So we could broadcast a match later on, although it's live on Twitch. We can then see what's going on. We won't have the chat ability, but it means we can then see what has happened in that game and do it as if it was a live broadcast. And
so the same would then apply.
So basically much, yeah. Theater mode.
Pretty much theater mode, but with the spectator abilities, it would just be so much better. Because then you can have all the little extra bits. Instead of having where in theater mode where, as I found, taking screenshots, etc., you can either have the blank screen or you can have it up with all the details, but there's quite a few things you miss if you have the spectator mode and actually allow it where you're not having your camera get in the way of the Spartan. You can actually go through the Spartan, so it can allow you to have a bit more freedom with where you can stick the cameras. So it allows things a little bit better, or even if you do a highlights thing, so say for UK listeners, match of the day equivalent, or in the US, say, follow up with what's happening in the American football for the last weekend. It allows them to say, in the AGLA season this week in the pro circuit, just show the highlights from each one, then same again. It'll be easier to arrange that with the spectator mode than, say, when you used to be in theatre where you had to do all the little bits and clips as before.
That's why you guys are the experts for when it comes to broadcasting.
I just talk a lot.
All right, you see it in other games. I know, for example, Evolves has become an eSport unto itself. They had a giant screen and set up at PAX East that we just came back from, and people enjoyed watching it. But again, they're having to flip from person to person's perspective. I know when I did a flag event, the Fight Like a Girl tournament for breast cancer awareness, they would have referees and streamers in each match, and it was shooty Halo. And so they would actually have to build invisible boxes up in the sky and try and be able to see everything because they didn't have the technology to switch from one person to the other the way that, you know, nobody who's not Twitch or Golden Boy and Bravo can do right now. And it was such a pain in the butt to get the referee to spawn in the right place and all the players to spawn in the right place. And I think it's definitely been a long time coming, and it's going to make the engagement with the community so much better because you can give them a better look at what is actually going on, whether it's in a shooty Halo match, whether it is in a Griffball match, really give them that inside scoop. And I think the best example I can think of was back in the 90s when poker was getting really big. They started to show poker on television, but nobody was watching it. Everybody thought it was just really boring and nobody was paying attention. And then they invented the card cam so that the players or the people at home could see what the players had. And suddenly viewership skyrocketed. It's because the players at home now have more information than the players in the room, and that naturally creates tension and anticipation. So you see that when, say, at the HCS, you could see Snipedown jumping up and down, and he's so, so close to landing that headshot, and there's this tension. And I think that's what having multiple cameras would enable all streamers to do. Maybe not that perfect, but it would definitely build that kind of anticipation and that ability for the watchers to have as much, if not more, information than the people on the field.
Pretty much sums it up right there. Having all that information really makes it a lot more enjoyable too, and actually being able to understand what's going on. And you guys kind of go through some of the strategies too with Griffball, and they do that during the HCS stuff as well. So being able to kind of explain while having that information there, I think is also very beneficial to streamers, because it's not exactly only meant to be you're watching someone play Halo. It's also meant to be kind of an engaging experience, and you're going to be talking to your audience and explaining why people are doing certain things. So I think that's actually very important, and you brought up a very good point about that.
And now if I can get a smart glass application that lets me take a stylus and use like a pen to draw little arrows and circles and stuff.
Oh, yes, awesome. Please. Yes, please. That would be so, so
that would
useful.
Be insane.
Yeah, I'm getting a little future casty now, but I think about everything that the NFL has, and I want it. I want it all.
I mean, even in other stuff, I look at American sports, and it's so different.
So that's that's a thing that I would love to see. And again, I am more than happy and ecstatic with the fact that there's even a theater mode that is possible. And if it's in the beta, it's only going to get better from there. And I remember there's a time or two when I've been very lucky and fortunate enough to go to 343. And when they were about to announce Griffball and Halo 4, they actually brought Cal and I in. We got to play it early, and they actually sat down and talked to us about what we would want in a Griffball game and what would make our experience better as Griffballers. Now, keep in mind, this was years and years ago, so I'm not saying that this is what caused it or this was the impetus for it, but we definitely gave them feedback at that time, and every year we send them a Griffball wish list, which, you know, it's just kind of a hopeful, aspirational thing that we do to keep up the relationship that we have with them. And on there was, you know, spectator mode and being able to switch from person to person and being able to do, you know, cut into chat. And when we explain to them what we currently do, how we Knockyard forges these amazing maps that uses teleporters and clear pieces to create a holding environment for the casters and the lengths that we have gone to, such as the Wraith tank on that map. The length that we have gone to be able to continue to broadcast and stream to our audience is something that they were very excited about, but also very, what's the word I'm looking for? Impressed, I guess is the word. Just the, because nobody else is doing it and nobody else has done it. And yeah, Griffballers are special. I think that's a really good way to say it. We're very always the one.
You guys have a platform that really fosters that too, because Griffball is more like a sport, so it's a lot more easily relatable to a lot of stuff that you would see on TV, whereas the first-person shooter esports scene, at least from a kind of a mass media perspective, still kind of getting its pickup. So I think there's a lot of easy things to relate between streaming Griffball and athletic sports, as a lot of people are know of it on TV.
Well, yeah, I mean, Griffball is very analogous to, say, football. It's a square space, right, and people move up and down it. That's pretty basic. Whereas Shooty Halo is more analogous to, I guess, paintball?
paintball.
Yeah. Paintball, airsoft.
You could have like a sky camp or something, but
I've seen live stream paintball because I am a paintballer. I've done it many times before. When the World Cup comes along, in the speedball environment, which is the one that is widely known as the sport of paintball, apart from, say, Scenario Wooden, which is done for us, so trying to record that as a nightmare, you know, it's practically impossible. With speedball, the way they do it, they do have drone cameras, etc., which are over the top, but you miss so much, because even if you have a first-person headset or GoPro camera, there's so much more you miss, because you don't see all the extras you get in an FPS game. So even then, it's very hard to engage that, but whilst with football, the sheer simplicity of the rules, how it works, just players in a box, it's so similar that an audience can easily identify with it, regardless of age, gender, greed, anything of that type. They instantly can associate with it a lot better than getting their head around numerous different rules, which would be, say, in the FPS, like how to get the best method what weapons are needed, where's the best spots to be. It's a much more vast universe to get your head around and take it all in and say, these guys are in a box, they need to get this ball to here, and they're armed with a sword, a hammer, or they can use their fists. Simple.
Yep. So is there anything else that you guys can think about that you would like to add to spectator mode? I think we kind of covered a lot of the bases.
Forgeable bits for spectator mode. It'd be nice to have where...
That would be nice.
When we have the opening camera you have.
Yep. That's... Yeah, go ahead. You're on my thought wave.
Ah, excellent. So across the Atlantic Ocean, but when you start a match, infamously in Halo 4 is blurred, but you see the map. So you can place these cameras across. It'll be great to have that ability to place these cameras in the courts where you want. So Knockyard or Taco, when they're making these maps, they could put them in good places where they're not intrusive, but there are good angles. And then they could be adjusted. So maybe they can have movement or they're perfectly still. It's almost like a CCTV camera. They can instantly be seen as, okay, so we're going to flip to camera 1, 2, 3, or 4. So you can see so you can instantly work out where you are, and then you can instantly switch to that camera so you can get to the right spot. So having that ability to maybe forge that in, then for me as a screenshot taker, that again is something useful for me. So I can look back at theater screen at a certain moment and see, has this effect worked? Has this effect I want to do for a screenshot? Does it work? Yes, no. That then provides you out rather than having to run through tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of video, which I can't skip forward, sadly. It takes at least 5 minutes trying to get to that spot in the video to see if that effect has worked rather than in spectator mode. It's a lot easier because the camera's already there.
I think I would want to be able to tag the ball and have the camera follow the ball. So that way, when the ball gets chucked across the court, you fly along with it.
Although
I don't really know
it
how
it will be nauseous if someone hammers the ball.
What?
It'll be nauseous if someone hammers the ball. If someone deflects it or if it gets bounced as it doesn't hit the floor, you will get nausea because that ball can break the speed of sound sometimes when it gets struck by a hammer and goes stratospheric.
I still think it would be fun. Can't you imagine, like, being the ball and Easy's holding you and he's running down the court and then the camera lunges forward into somebody's face and then comes back because you land a stiff arm and
it would open up some interesting commentating terms.
Yes, it would.
And here we are being hugged live by ShadowS16 as he slowly brings us towards this person and he jarts us forward and he smashes us into the face of Easy O8, who goes down with a cracked faceplate.
So yeah, that maybe not so much on that one, but I think that would be a funny a funny or enjoyable, you know, being able to experience Griffball as the bomb.
Definitely. Or maybe as a hammer or sword, although you probably get very sick watching that as well.
Well, and they also respawn really fast too.
Yes. I'm thinking if you're following the ball, it's going to be more like a third-person kind of thing.
I want to be the ball, Dusty.
You want to... okay.
I want to be the ball.
Fair enough.
Yeah, other than that, lots of cameras, being able to place them. I mean, in a crazy, crazy world, the cameras would auto-activate based on like where the bomb is. So if the bomb's in the middle camera's activated, and you can kind of rotate it side to side. You know, if the bomb is in the back third, that camera gets activated, but you can still rotate it up and down the court a little bit. But again, that's probably like Halo 7 or 8 or 9 that I'm talking about.
If it was forgeable, you could use the trait, like in Halo 4, the trait zones or hill methods. You can mark the camera down, open up the hill. So as soon as anyone crosses that hill boundary, that's when the camera activates. So it's the method is there. They just need to find a way of coding it, which of course is the hardest part of it all for 343.
Yeah, I don't forge.
You also have to consider also what camera scripting, though, because if you're actually trying to follow someone very specifically, you don't want to automatically jump out of that camera view and ruin the shot.
That is true.
Okay. I think we've shared a lot of our hopes and dreams, and obviously whatever they put out is going to be... And the worst case is that we can't use it for our purposes, and then we just continue to make courts where we sit in the wall and watch people like creepy voyeurs.
Yeah, so we sit in behind walls and we watch people die repeatedly. There's nothing wrong with this, Goose.
No, it's like the Hunger Games, but we're the rich capital people.
Yes. Does that mean I get a crazy hairstyle?
Sure.
Excellent.
Well, I know there's a lot of stuff that people want to see with Spectator Mode. It's nice to see that there is an implementation of it coming. I'm excited to see what they're going to change with the feedback that they got from the beta. And Goose and Receptor, thanks for coming on. What you guys will be hearing next is a short interview with Golden Boy that I did at PAX right after the HCS, and he's going to share his thoughts on Spectator Mode. Hello everyone, this is Dustrom here. I'm sitting down with the one and only Golden Boy here wrapping up the HCS Season 1 Grand Finals. We just watched an amazing wrap-up. I think it's been one of the most exciting Halo weekends I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was incredible. Legendary series between Noble Black and CLG really has everyone talking.
Right.
You know, Grand Final was Grand Final, right? CLG left it all on the table, with Noble Black. That's what they needed to do to get to that point. But it definitely was, EG, really, there was nothing that was really going to stop them. Evil Geniuses was one of the best teams to play Halo. And I expect them to continue that going into season two.
Yeah. We saw a lot of upsets with Noble Black too, which that was actually pretty amazing to watch. We saw them beat out Optic Gaming on the first day and then Cloud9 yesterday. So they had a pretty good run.
I have to say, like, just the overall, like, the tournament for Noble Black was very, it was a storybook ending, right, for them. I mean, no matter what happened, right, they still went out there and succeeded when everyone told them that they couldn't. And that is the best feeling in the world. Had a chance to speak with Arcanum and the Arcanum APG Maniac, as well as Ares. Yeah, I told him, you know, not to hang your head low. You know, there, I mean, yeah, you know, be a little frustrated right now, but there will be plenty of opportunity. The team is so good. I really hope they stick together.
Yeah.
Of course, they are going to be sought after because of what they did this weekend. But I think the four of them, it's a winning combination. You know, while they may not have done it this time, there's plenty of opportunity for them to do it moving forward.
Right.
So we have you sitting down here today because we were kind of going through of our Halo 5 breakdown discussions. And yeah. You're one of the most well-known Halo casters out there amongst the
Thank
likes
you.
Of Bravo and Walshy. And we love you on Podtacular.
I love Podtacular. It's
and,
awesome.
And one of the cool things that I've gotten to see from the inaugural HCS setup and then what you have here is your whole streaming setup. It's really cool. You have all the touch screens. You're able to control the stream feed, and you have those 8 screen views of all the players. So you guys have a lot of data coming in. And with Halo 5 Guardians, we've seen the introduction of spectator mode.
Yep.
So how much of Halo 5 Guardians spectator mode did you get to mess around with during the beta?
I messed around with it at the actual stream that we did on Twitch for the reveal of spectator mode, and it was really good. I was really impressed with it. The way it functions right now is it's kind of a rewinding theater. So the gameplay is about, I would say, a minute behind the actual gameplay itself. I'm not crazy about that. I feel like it should be a lobby. You get a player in there that you know, however many, maybe 3 players, 4 players, or whatever, like that can spectate. That would be awesome. That'd be great. So that this way, you know, and the reason why 4 players to spectate would be nice would be to be able to get more angles. You know, you can really do some cool stuff production-wise if you have that, you know, capability. And I know that's something that Quinn wants to do. I talked to him about it a little, you know, when I went over to 343. They definitely were feeling, you know, all the ideas that I had. And Quinn already had, like, a whole laundry list of ideas. So it's in good hands, you know. There are people over there who are genuine fans of esports. And they want to make this spectator mode not only something that's good for, you know, content creators, because that's really a big advantage for it too, but also for esports, right? Which is growing day in and day out because of the HCS.
And I think just from what we've seen this weekend, there's a huge build up for Halo now. I mean, we looked at the crowds. If you guys have seen our tweets and Halo tweets, it's crazy how many people were out here. So
it was so ridiculous. It was so ridiculous how many people, like, people were, they were pushing to so they could watch, right? Like,
and the enforcers were coming by and trying to make sure that the aisles were clear.
It was so cool, and I loved it. It was great. No complaints. Everyone was awesome. People on Twitch were awesome. You know, got a lot of what face spam, which was nice. You know, my little emote.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was great. I had a good time, man. And you couldn't have asked for a better final.
Yeah, I completely agree. Now you've cast a little bit of Call of Duty, right?
Oh yeah, my fair share.
And
without a
there's
doubt.
There's been spectator mode in Call of Duty in the past.
Yes.
What are some of the stuff that you've seen in that, and then some other kind of ideas for spectator mode that you would like to see possibly included in Halo 5 or Halo titles?
That's a great question. I think the number one thing that would be awesome is a mini map. You know, we have the radar, which is fantastic, but the ability to pull up a mini map to show that, because Halo is a game about positioning. So if you're able to show those positions on the map, that would be incredible. I would love that. Hopefully that's something that they do. I would also like to see something similar to Counter-Strike, where you have the 5 or 4 players in Counter-Strike's 5, but in Halo you would have like 4 players, and you could see the 2 weapons that are on their person as well as their health, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, this is kind of stretching it, but maybe even fit like a kills, like how many kills they've had. Or that is just something for the scoreboard, right? I would like to see a more refined scoreboard, you know, showing me stats that matter for the game type. So for Slayer, kills, deaths, assists, right? And time alive, which would be important. You know, like average time alive, if that's something that can be calculated. For CTF, caps, kills, deaths, assists, right? Similar to what you would see right now.
Right.
Also, you know, like flag defense would be another great stat. I would really like to see those stats really fleshed out,
So it's that kind of stuff's important. It almost sounds like you want a post-game carnage report, but just a live update of it as it's going on. Because a lot of what you said is in the post-game carnage report.
Exactly. It should be in the game itself, so that this way we can educate the viewers. Because the truth
That'd be
is,
really cool.
Yeah, Halo is, you know, in me, I've casted a lot of games in my career. Halo is not easy to cast, and a lot of people really don't seem to understand this. You know, I always get a lot of flack from a lot of people for whatever reason may be. And, you know, I always say, like, hey, if you're ever at an event and you don't like me, I don't care if you don't like me, hit me up. I'll bring you to the back and I'll show you what it's like. We're looking at, and you said it before, we're seeing all this information.
Keeping track of 8 different player views.
Yeah, we're seeing 8 different POVs with, like, little to no context as to what they're doing. When someone responds, we don't see where they are. We have to use visual cues on the map for us to know what they're doing. Sometimes we even miss double kills, triple kills. You know, I think we even miss lethals overkill. There's so much information. And I always tell people, it's like, I want more people to cast Halo, you know, to do what I do. I would love to see that. I'm glad we were able to bring out Sims and Walshy and, you know, of course, Bravo myself. But when you're casting the game, there's so much going on. You really have to just keep mental tabs on it all. So having that in spectator mode would really help out a lot, because then we're able to dissect the action, you know, see who's getting the multi-kills, see, you know, where they're positioned on the map. Are they going to be in a position where they're coming behind two unsuspecting players? We could see that in the map and switch to the player. That kind of stuff is what we need in Halo.
That'd be really cool to see. And it would, like you said, it would be a great kind of like educational tool while you're on the stream. And even in between games, you could kind of go and break down the strategy.
Exactly.
For the team.
Like another cool thing would be having heat maps. So, you know, live heat maps in the game, so that this way we can see where a lot of the activity was taking place. And one thing that I like that Evolve did was at the end of the game in Evolve, if you haven't had a chance to play it yet, you see exactly where your movement was throughout the entire matchup. Now, in Halo, it's going to be a little tough, but it'd be really cool to see that specifically for, like, capture the flag, specifically for, you know, bomb, right? Those kinds of things. That would be really, really, I mean, even just to see where the tracking goes, I don't care if it's being drawn all over the crates like a psychopath. That would be awesome to just have that. You know, and I hope that is something that they definitely put in, but heat maps would be great to know where a lot of the activity was taking place in that game and where these players tend to push more so, you know, and how that can affect them in their next game, right? That'd be good information to have.
Well, that's one of those things you kind of take for granted, too, because if you look back at the legacy of Halo 2 and Halo 3, Bungie had heat maps, and you could actually look at them per game.
Yeah.
And then eventually they would come out every now and then and have an overall, this is what it looks overall.
Yeah.
And the interesting point about the mini-maps is we have that splash screen now on every map that has the map layout, so it definitely sounds like it's possible for them to kind of do something like that.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, like, Bungie did have that before with on BNet, and I think that, you know, having it in the game is more impactful because not everyone's going to go to Bungie.net or Halo Waypoint to check out their stats, right? Having those kinds of things in the game itself would be fantastic. And I like, we're really starting to come into this age where players are wanting more information, right? They're wanting more information and quicker, which if that makes sense. And that's kind of like
the
age we live in.
Age.
Yeah, it is the information age. So I don't see a reason why we, you know, that should not be the case in Halo 5, or at least I hope it would be. I know Quinn has grand plans, but of course, they always do have to wrestle that kind of stuff with development of the game too. That's the other thing you got to always keep in mind, right? These guys have a tall order in front of them. They need to produce an amazing video game experience, and they have to also balance it out with the demands of what an esports event would need. And I know that they want to meet the standards that all these other esports titles have had. So I expect good work. I'm really looking forward to it no matter what they do. But either way, we have a spectator mode in Halo 5, so I'm happy.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of curious to see what they do with, because you'd almost have two different kind of systems, because you could have one that is kind of spectator mode that you go into a matchmaking game that's on a server, a dedicated server, and you can actually branch off that bandwidth. So someone can go in that. And then have a completely different suite of tools for LAN events for casting that they can come in, set up this environment. And what I would personally like to see is something like their own virtual kind of Xbox Live cloud. And then they all log into a server and then that server is basically running that dedicated session, and then you have so much more power to ingest and calculate data for streamers.
That would be the dream. That would be the dream.
Quinn, if you're listening.
That's a lot of work though. Right. The reason why it works for PC is because PC is open platform, right? As opposed to Xbox, which is closed, and you know, approvals need to come from Microsoft. I know that that is something that everyone would love to have. Who knows? Maybe one day, right? And the conversation would be, you know, what more can they add, right? And that'd be fantastic.
Yeah. Now, one of the interesting things with Spectre, at least for Halo 5, is the ability to fly around the map. And one of the things to that is because it has a minute delay. But thinking about how you would use other angles in casting, would you want something like a free cam to use during casting? Would you want to be able to forge specific camera angles in and then be able to jump between those? Like common viewpoints on flag cap spawns or bomb plants, that kind of stuff. What's kind of your idea on that?
I think having designated cameras would be fantastic. And then, of course, a first-person perspective, because that's what people really want to see.
Right.
But, you know, having a camera, like having a default so that it already goes to these snapped cameras across the map, and then I'm able to pull out with the thumbstick, you know, like bring out the camera, right, from that angle. But it still is based on the set cameras, so that this way I can get to action much quicker. That would be fantastic. I would like that a lot. I think it's something they can do. It's, you know, again, but, and they also, the other issue too is the controller only has so many buttons. So it's really about figuring out, like, do you make it so that you're, you know, you have L, which acts as a toggle for a whole new set of buttons, and it gives you two sets. So L, you know, first set gives you one set of buttons.
Or the infamous D-pad.
Or the infamous D-pad, either or, which wouldn't be half bad either, to just, you know, hit like down on the D-pad and then you get a whole new set of options. That would be fantastic. I you know, they have to figure out how to make it work for a controller, right? That's the challenge. And has to work for a controller. Now, here's the thing. I could use anything, and I've used a lot of crazy setups before, but, you know, like the guy who's making his machinimas at home may not. So, you know, gotta give that dude an easy interface to mess around with, so this way he could produce good content.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as far as kind of like the streaming stuff goes, was there anything else that you kind of thought about that you would like to see in a Halo specific setting?
Would definitely like to see the ability to input names into the game, so that red team and blue team says Evil Geniuses and Counter Logic Gaming.
Yeah.
Maybe even logos would be fantastic. Ooh. If we could upload logos into it, that would be great. I know you can take files and upload them onto your Xbox One. It'd be really cool if you could take those logos. They have to be a certain size. It's like super advanced usage, but you upload them and then set those logos for each team. That would be some cool stuff.
It'd almost be like, because in Halo 2, you had where you saw the user icon instead of a name across the map. So that would actually be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it'd be great. It'd be great to have that in the game. I'd love it. I think, you know, that would be a good feature, having that scoreboard up at the top. Although I do love 343's design for HCS now, that we finally nailed it. We have our...
Every event has had a very good layout.
Yeah. The layouts have been good. I think, you know, the gentleman who works at 343, Chase, who ended up doing the graphics for Gamers for Giving and HCS Season 1 Finals, nailed it. Hit it out of the park, really captured the vibe of the red versus the blue. And that's what, you know, I think we needed. You know, it's always nice to have these tournaments have, you know, overlays and whatnot, but I think it is even better if we can have something that really speaks to Halo, right? Because it needs a match with the game. You know, I thought UGC did a good job with it, but it was too matchy, right? It was too much looking like it was the game itself.
It looked like it was part of the interface.
Yeah, which it looked fantastic.
Oh,
don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But you still want to retain that, hey, this is an esport, you know, and nothing speaks esports more than the classic red versus blue. Because to me, Halo has always been an esport to me. You know, when I look at other games and I love COD, I love Counter-Strike, and, you know, even League of Legends, it's cool. But the classic battle of red versus blue will be forever told throughout the annals of history. And Halo does it better than anyone else. Cool, counter-terrorists versus terrorists, or, you know, Russians versus Americans, which is kind of racist. Red and blue, always and forever. Gotta love it.
Yeah.
Gotta love it.
Well, thank you for taking time to sit down with us. It's been
an
excellent HCS Grand Finals. Cannot wait to see what's coming by for Season 2. We got a little bit about that
That's right.
And we'll be talking about it on the podcast a little bit as well.
It's going to be great. Yeah, hopefully everyone tunes in, continues to spread the gospel of Halo, just Halo in general. So many amazing communities that do so many amazing things, whether it's your Griff Ballers, your esports players, your casual players. I know that I'm going to go back. I'm going to be streaming MCC a lot when I get home. After watching this weekend, it gave me a real hankering to want to go home and play and try out some of the things that I saw these players do. So I'll be doing it on my stream and, you know, and more Halo 4 Big Team Battle, because that's just way too fun. And yeah, I mean, overall, man, it was just great. I had a great time. And now I'm just going to go hopefully play Overwatch, hang out with some of my Twitch coworkers, and have a nice steak dinner to close off the day. But no, I did not get under 25 kills. So that's going to do it for me.
You're the man. Well, Golden Boy, thank you again for coming out, man. And taking a few minutes to talk with us. And we'll see you in season 2.
All right, man. You have a good one. Thank you, brother.
You as well.